You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
I'd not to quote Rain Man, but I'm an excellent driver.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
You know what? He used to get so angry when we worked in Bristol. Uh-huh. I used to drive with my foot on the dashboard.
Today's guests: Chiefs General Manager Brett Veach, Ravens linebacker Patrick Queen, NFL Network analyst Steve Mariucci, plus your phone calls, complete NFL schedule breakdown, and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Yes, it is. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. Good to see everybody here on NBC Sports on Peacock. Good for everybody on Sirius XM Channel 85, NBC Sports Audio to hear us, same to the Rich Eisen Show Terrestrial Radio Network coast to coast, and also to those listening on the Odyssey app. Anybody checking us out on our podcast, whenever you're done, well, please, that's your God-given right. And we appreciate you subscribing to our podcast on the Cumulus Podcast Network, acquiring us wherever all podcasts are acquired. And we say hello to anybody who's watching on YouTube later on, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. Hey to everyone. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial on the program. And it is good to see Christopher Brockman back here on this program. How you feeling, Christopher?
I'm doing great. What's
good,
up, everybody?
Good to have you back.
Good to be back. Good to see you back. Everybody. And, what's happening? What'd I miss?
My wife killing
my
it
wife.
In your seat for the last 3 days.
Well, you know, on that point, Rich, I heard you guys kind of crapping on the workspace over here. Disrespectful. And I couldn't help but notice there's chocolate all over my mic flag. So what's going on?
Ice cream Thursday. It was an ice cream Thursday.
It's still in the we left it in the freezer.
We couldn't clean up after ourselves. I mean, what's happening?
Careful. I understand. I apologize on behalf of the entire cleaning staff of the Rich Eisen Show.
Just saying.
Good to see you, Bill.
Good to
back.
See you.
He's all fired up.
What's up?
DJ Mikey D is in D's Nuts is tapped out again. Good to see Jay Felly in his position.
How you
good
doing?
To see you.
Woke up and needed reading glasses.
And just like Mike.
I couldn't see the audio.
That's something you missed, Chris. Good to see you over there, TJ Jefferson. Lighting the candles.
You know, Rich, I got to be honest with you. In lieu of me suffering through that Sixer game, I went to the Cheesecake Factory in Marina Del Rey last night. I was like, I'm not even going to watch this.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, is that where people go to drown their sorrows?
Just tapped out.
I tapped out. I recorded the game and I dipped. All right.
Maybe that's where James Harden's been spending his time as well.
I might have been, man.
Making plays at the Cheesecake Factory.
I mean, come on,
because he's a playmaker. That's what I heard.
I'm frustrated. But good morning.
Well, while I was helping the NFL release its schedule on NFL Network last night, I was
the whole five games that were left,
keeping an eye. Well, we had as many games left to reveal after everybody else was revealing theirs as the Sixers had left in their series after tying it up at 2 games apiece.
Wow. I mean, why would you say that to me? I thought we were
just
cool.
Look, man. Here's the thing. You know how much I love Doc Rivers. Person who was sitting in your chair last 3 days, Chris. Susie loves Doc. The Eisen family loves Doc. I am hurting for him and for you today. And Daryl Morey's a friend of this program.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So people we genuinely like are in a bad spot right now. But the way that this series ended, even knowing their MVP had broken his orbital bone and had been concussed, and his shooting thumb needs surgery.
And knowing all of that and seeing how the team lost two without Embiid and then got even, and we saw Harden help the team get even with a performance that we thought was worthy of the old Harden, the one who made the NBA 75th all-time team, right? We saw it. And then these last two games were so insufficient, were so unacceptable in terms of effort. That's the thing. The effort, the hustle plays. You just didn't see them. It's just like that was, okay, we got even. That's the end of it. You're supposed to get even and then get mad, right? In the playoffs, rather than the other way around. And it didn't happen. Just a washout over the last two games, including the game six in front of the home folks last night. And once again, when a team gets eliminated, we sometimes talk mostly about the team that gets eliminated than the team that vanquishes them. And that's also got to be the hard part for the Sixers, because the team that vanquished them has a clear advantage in terms of depth, in terms of hustle, in terms of want to, in terms of team
talent,
and then in terms of talent. And their most talented player used to be on the 76ers, to make it even tougher, in Jimmy Butler.
Should never let him leave.
And the team that out-hustled them and played more like a team is the team that had to be separated from their best player just a couple of weeks ago. When the coach is yelling at Jimmy Butler and the team is going after Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler had to be pushed onto the opposite side of the court away from the angry coach and the rest of the team that was marauding in his direction. That's the team that came together and played more like a team.
What did Spo say?
The coach had asked him,
what do you want to fight me?
Do you want to fight me?
That's the team.
That's awesome.
That's why I thought it was like, oh, they're out.
That has already moved on. That's the first team to advance to the conference finals.
Moving on.
In the NBA playoffs.
So should Joe Miami Heat taking a swing at Doc? Is that what you're saying?
I'm not saying that. I'm saying, you know, just pointing out the oddities of the situation and the difficulty of having to swallow what the 76ers have to swallow today. Because they just flat out didn't show. No showed. And this was supposed to be fixed with Simmons gone. The irony that Simmons is sent away for a player who in crunch time didn't shoot. How ironic is that in terms of difficulty to swallow? James Harden's last made bucket in the elimination game was at the 3:31 mark of the second quarter. 0-for-2 in the second half last night. All sorts of zeros on the screen, as we're showing radio audience. Last night's split, 11 points in the first half, none in the second half. Just two shots. You're supposed to have James Harden taking shots, going to the free throw line, making plays.
He shot two more times than the four of us.
Honestly, he shot two more times than Ben Simmons did in game six. I'm serious. Like, you're swapping Simmons out for that guy, and that guy doesn't shoot.
I mean, what is going on?
So, obviously, the conversation going in and throughout the season falls on the coach, our friend Doc Rivers, who was asked about his job performance last night and also job security, and this was his response.
Don't worry about my job, Howard. I think I do a terrific job, and if you don't, then you should write it. Because I worked my butt off to get this team here. When I first got here, no one picked us to be anywhere. And again, this year, the same thing. So if that's how anyone feels, write it, and I'm going to feel secure about it.
The results-based business. That's
it is, but you don't do it every year. Every time you're wrong, should you lose your job? No. So it's the same thing, all right? But listen, if you believe that, then go with it. I know what I did this year, and I feel very good about that. But again, if you believe that, Howard, then you just run with it.
I can only imagine what the rest of the iceberg looks like underneath the water of what we know about the Philadelphia 76ers and then the whole Simmons thing. I mean, that went right down the tubes the minute he did not take that shot in the elimination game against the Hawks last spring, or two springs ago, right? When Doc said he didn't know if he had a championship player at the position, and Embiid's like, oh, the game turned on, well, you know, on somebody who didn't dunk a ball, you know?
Right.
And then Simmons apparently took umbrage at both and then never to return until he did return, but then he said he can't play because he had a mental problem, and then he had a back problem, and then all of those things finally were answered enough for him to be traded to the Nets along with Seth Curry and others for Harden. And then he winds up with the Nets and doesn't play for the Nets because he had the back problem. But then the back problem, he said, was also partially caused by the mental problems. But those mental problems were so significant that it led to the back problems that led to surgery. So that guy was on the Sixers. So I understand when this season, when all that was happening, I would agree that we were... Were you expecting anything out of the Sixers when all that stuff was happening this year?
No.
Okay. The last year, though, when Doc arrived, I think that there was an expectation level for sure.
Yeah, I mean, team was at full strength.
But it also was Morey comes in, and now we have to figure out what's this team going to look like with Doc, and I don't know if Doc's going to be there. Certainly when you tell Philadelphia sports writers to write it, they will write it.
Yeah, don't challenge them.
They will write it.
Yeah. He's talking to Howard Eskin? He must be, right?
So
that was who I thought.
I mean, and WIP, and I'm sure they are chewing it up. They're having Doc Whiz-Wit.
But if you're Doc, today, would you rather stay the Sixers coach or coach the Lakers with the uncertain future?
I proffer to say he might want to come back here. I don't know. I don't want to speculate. It doesn't look good. And certainly the roster doesn't look workable with the way Harden's playing. So QMB, who had an MVP season in the minds of many, and got too damn banged up for this team to survive in the playoffs longer than they did. And this is what Embiid had to say about Harden.
I don't know. I think he's been, obviously, I'm sure, you know, since we got him, everybody expected the Houston James Harden, but that's not who he is anymore. He's more of a playmaker. I thought, you know, at times, you know, could have been, as all of us, could have been more aggressive, all of us, whether it's Tyrese or Tobias or, you know, guys coming off the bench. And I'm not just talking about offensively. I'm talking about, you know, as a whole.
Since when is playmaker a euphemism for shadow of your former self?
It's very backhanded.
Now, does that mean he's not a scorer anymore? He's just driving and facilitating for others. And Maxie didn't have a very good night either.
Right.
Is that what that means?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
creator.
Well, I'll tell you what the Nets or what the Sixers didn't think they were acquiring from the Nets was a playmaker. Right. In quotes, they want that Harden. They want the Harden to triple double, the 31 point damn near triple double. James
Harden.
Yeah,
that guy just doesn't exist.
That's what they want. That's got well. He did exist once.
Once
he can't consistently do it anymore. And that's the question. Because guess what? The Philadelphia 76ers have to do.
They got to decide about a lot of money.
An insane amount of money.
Yeah.
Whether if it's just for 1 year.
$47 million next year. $47.4 million.
Or he declines player option and they pay him an insane amount of money for this year and he can make a lot more money. I can't imagine he's gonna decline a damn thing. Because I don't think the Sixers are gonna max him out or something, because he's in line to potentially sign the biggest contract in the history of the NBA. Guess what's not gonna be offered to him?
$270 million from the Sixers.
That Harden did say, though, I'm going to be here next year. The anti-Magic.
Yeah.
He made it seem like... I'm going to be here.
I'm going to be here.
I'll be here.
He made it seem like he'd do whatever it took, right, money-wise,
correct,
to...
Well, no, he will do whatever it takes for this team to win.
Yeah.
Except we didn't see it. I'll do anything it takes from here on out. How about the last two games? What gives with just shooting twice? What gives with making your only shot, last shot of the game, with 3:31 to go in the first half? Higher register doesn't even cover it.
Like Chris pointed out, he played pretty well in the first half.
This is what Hart. Well, 11 points first half. I mean, there you go.
Three threes. What good?
Oh, he was a playmaker in the first half. Or no, I'm sorry. He's a playmaker in the second half because he didn't make any shots. Yeah. This is what he had to say.
Why weren't you more aggressive?
Like I just said, we run offense. The ball, you know, just didn't get back to me.
James, you said the ball didn't get to you. Does the coach call plays to try to get the ball to you?
Next question.
Oh, boy. That's a lot on Daryl Morey's plate right now in ownership of the Philadelphia 76ers. Clearly, there's a lot of gear grinding right now. And, of course, right after elimination in the playoffs, the gears grind the loudest and angriest. What do you want, TJ?
What do I want?
Yes. You're the Sixer fan sitting here.
Look, there is just no possible way they can give this guy the full amount of money that he could potentially.
Do you think he'll be very happy about that? You think he'll try his damnedest? You think he won't go honey bunny?
Here's the deal.
You know what I mean? You don't think he's going to try and find somebody else he wants to play with? And
who?
I don't know.
Who's going to pay him $270? Like, what team is going to pay, especially based on what we just saw?
So you're
going to
get Harden back next year with Embiid, hopefully healthy, right?
Because like Chris said.
What about the coach?
Let's put this in perspective, right? Harden got to the Sixers. There were 24 games left in the season. I'm going to try to put a positive spin on this, even though I'm kind of annoyed by it all. There were 24 games left in the season, so that's 24 times to try to integrate new players and get your team to where it was and get you to the point where you could win a championship.
Yes, sir.
They weren't able to do that. I'm willing to, as a fan, go, all right, let's give this a full season to see what this
with
team
Doc.
Can. With Doc and with James, because like Chris says, and you've been wanting that 30-point triple-double Harden. We know that you're going to get him maybe a few times a year. But that the facilitator, the 20-point, the 12-assist guy, that's there. He can do that. And that's what this team needs. We need Maxey to step up next year. Tobias Harris is quiet as kept. He's a pretty, you know, underrated NBA player. I don't know about the rest of the team, though, Rich. There's no depth on this team. No one's giving you anything off the bench.
That's on Daryl Morey, and I trust him to fix it. I think he's one of the smartest guys we've ever had sitting in this chair.
And he's a James Harden fan, so you know Harden's probably not going to go anywhere.
Correct, and Embiid is all-world incredible.
Yeah.
And I like Maxey. Obviously, we'll see how they can put this team together.
Maxey's only going to get better.
I love Doc. I love him. I know that you're already making that face, Chris, that I think the rest of the league makes or a lot of fans make.
He got you a chip, Chris.
He did, but he also had three Hall of Famers headlining it.
Yeah.
And you could say Rondo, you know.
Rondo.
Okay.
Four.
So here's what I would say. And I'll just say this because Brett Veach of the Kansas City Chiefs is going to join us, the general manager, shortly on this program, and we'll talk about his schedule. and so much more. Here's what I will say. James Harden, call Tom Brady. Seriously. We had Tyrann Mathieu on yesterday. Tyrann Mathieu, who was barking at Tom Brady in the Super Bowl and vice versa, talking about that they go way back. And what did he ask Tom about? Tom, tell me, how do I have longevity? How do I get some bounce back? I even know I'm not making similar maneuvers to what I'm used to making. How do I do it? Call somebody, whoever you want to call. Go intermittent fast. Do something. Because I believe he doesn't look the same way because, and I've intimated this for weeks, and I'm not behind the scenes, and I've never met him. I don't know him. I would just say from afar, every waking minute, anything you put in your mouth, anything that you do in your life is all about your personal health and wellness and well-being and get in the gym and work out, and get on a meal plan and stay away from anything that might take you away from being the best physical version of yourself and give that a whirl for 1 year. 1 year. Would you do that? For 1 year, anybody out there, if it could lead to the largest contract in the history of your endeavor?
Better believe. Brockman tries to get me to go to the gym every day with him. I would be there, Chris.
Would you do that? Anybody out there?
Yes.
Would you do that? for 1 year.
You should do that.
Yes. You should do that, James. 1 year. Give it a whirl and see how it goes. And if it doesn't work, then do whatever the hell you want because you've got an insane amount of money. Live the life the way you want to live. But right now, we're all wondering, can you do it anymore? You like that? I'm proffering to say you do not. Let's take a break. Brett Veach of the Kansas City Chiefs will join us. The general manager of the Chiefs will join us. Mooch is making his way to the studio. We've got a lot going on this program. 844-204-RICH, number to dial with you as well. Don't go anywhere. We'll talk about the NFL schedule release in a moment.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s. The breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
We're back here on our SiriusXM network, and we're back here on the terrestrial radio network of the Rich Eisen Show. One big happy simulcast family. The general manager of the Kansas City Chiefs. On the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line, now that the schedule has been released, he is Brett Veach back here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you doing, Brett?
Rich, how you doing? I'm doing good. I'm doing good. Had a chance to take a look at the schedule and watch some of these rookies out here with the vets and just getting excited like everyone else for the 2022 season.
Okay. Are you getting some new luggage for September? Specific for your way that you're starting, Brett? I mean, my gosh, three out of the first four on the road. Your thoughts on your schedule, Brett?
Well, listen, it's certainly a tough way to open the season. Mm-hmm. Like you mentioned, three of those first games on the road and starting out there in Arizona and then the week four game down there in Tampa will be a challenge. But you get these throughout the course of a 17-game schedule and with the parity in this league, you get these waves every year. So I actually like it because...
You do?
Typically, you know, you come out of the gate, and I'm going to knock on wood here, after training camp with the preseason being shortened a little bit, hopefully we come out healthy and you know, we're fresh, and then we have that bye right in the middle there. So at least... there's a good chance we can get to this early portion of the schedule and have our team healthy and firing all cylinders. And then from there, it's like every year. It's just the battle to survive. And hopefully we've done enough work this offseason to create a deep roster. And we have talent and we have a good team. But like any year, there's going to be games and matchups that go in different directions depending on the health of a team and where they are and how they're playing.
Well, not many teams have three out of four to start, and you're only one of four teams to have a three-game road trip right in between. So anybody from the Chiefs call the league and say what gives? I am serious, Brett, by the way, when I ask that question.
Yeah, well, we've answered the question, and Eric Stone Street literally has zero pull with Roger, although he may claim he does. So we know that to be true, that he has no say in this.
Yes.
No, look, I know it's a tough deal for the league, and they have to get all these games in. They got to make them fit, but we're also it's kind of one of those good problems to have. You have Pat Mahomes, and there's a need to see him, and there's a need to make sure that he's placed in various places at the right time and the right day of the year and spread them out. And look, there's a lot of great players across the league. So I'm sure it's not the easiest thing to do, but they have those super high-tech equations that figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing really we can do other than we knew we were playing these teams, whether it was home or away. We knew where the schedule was and how it all lined up. Many ways it looks tough, but sometimes the way it works out, it could be a blessing depending on how the schedule falls out. It's funny because the schedule release thing has gotten so big, and it's a great deal for the fans, and they get to kind of do their predicting and going through the schedule. But I mean, the reality of it is, I mean, it's such a long season. And I remember last year I had some family members call and work through the schedule and kind of go through all the scenarios, and then they're like, yeah, and then we have Cincinnati at the end of the year. That'll be great having them late, easy win. I mean, they were a team that was picking in the top 10, and that was a team that ended our season and beat us twice in a four-week span. So teams change a lot over the course of a season.
Yes.
The chemistry changes. The team, you know, the team changes. In this league, if you're just a tick off or just if you're a tick better than you were a year before, you're really good. And if you're a tick worse than you were the year before, you're really bad. And so how that all plays out remains to be seen. There's a lot of work that we have to do to get back to a fifth straight AFC championship game, but I like where we are, and I like the infusion of youth on our roster, so we'll enjoy this now and take a look at it, but know that once we get to St. Joe's for training camp, we'll take it one game at a time.
Brett Veach, general manager of the Kansas City Chiefs here on the Rich Eisen Show, and you just mentioned losing to the Bengals twice in 4 weeks to end your season and regular season. That definitely affected the eventual seedings, and then the Bengals in the AFC Championship game in your house. The previous season, losing in the Super Bowl caused you to go and say, I know exactly what I'm fixing. And word is that you said that literally leaving the building. You hit the heck out of your offensive line, and you've got a highly improved unit there. What did you leave the AFC Championship game this time thinking about your roster and addressing it? What was this time about, Brett?
Yeah, it was a little bit different, certainly, than the Super Bowl experience against Tampa Bay.
Mm-hmm.
That was just one of those doomsday scenarios where we had an older offensive line, and in addition to that, we had our right tackle who was about to retire, and then the left tackle had a season-ending injury. So that, in addition to the job of those guys, are to protect, you know, what we feel is the best player in the NFL. So that was certainly one of those really obvious, we got to go. There's nothing more important than protecting Pat Mahomes, and we certainly felt good about our plan last year and what we did, and liked that unit a lot. This year it was a little bit more of overall, just we need to get better on both ends, and we have a lot of great young quarterbacks, not just in this league, but in particular the AFC, and then again in our division, and so we have to continue to provide the quarterback with weapons and protection, and then we certainly have to try to infuse the defense with more depth and more talent, in particular speed, on the back end, and try to build up our depth on the D-line. So it was more of an approach that we have to get better in all phases this offseason. And, you know, I think we were able to do that. And I think the way we got there was a little bit unique. And I think our plan initially in the offseason was to, you know, we had Orlando on the tag, and we wanted to take care of Tyreek and then kind of address the defense. And then the way the market shifted with the receivers and the way the market shifted with the veteran defensive linemen, we kind of altered our course of action and decided to go through the draft almost entirely. And, you know, again, I think we're happy with the way it turned out. But there's going to be a lot of young guys you're going to see out there on the defensive side. But I think that we're very hopeful that these guys are going to be who we think they are.
Okay, Brett, there's a lot that you just put down there. I'm going to try and pick up a couple of those breadcrumbs, and I'm assuming you'll know exactly which one I'm starting with, and the word Tyreek. Because you said that you left the season last year to address his contract first, and the wide receiver market changed. His situation, where we all woke up in the middle of March hearing that he has requested a trade and you were about to oblige him, really is the I think the centerpiece of the craziest month in the history of the NFL. Stephon Diggs summed it up. He tweeted out at the very moment all this broke, four simple words: "The hell going on?" is what he is what he tweeted. So, I will ask you that question: the hell going on? What happened with Tyreek? Best you can explain, Brett.
Well, listen, it's probably a combination of a few things. You know, the season ended, and as you know, Rich, when teams go to the combine, they certainly go there to evaluate the college prospects, but they also are there to discuss contracts with their players and the agents that are there. So the season ended, and again, the game plan for the offseason was to, you know, get more depth and talent on the defensive side and see if we can take care of Tyreek. And we had a chance to talk to Drew Rosenhaus at the combine on multiple occasions, and I think we laid an initial framework for a contract, and we felt things were kind of trending in the right direction. All big contracts take a few weeks, and you know, some take a few months. But we left there, and we felt like we were in a pretty good place. And then, as you know, the wide receiver market just exploded and went in a crazy different direction. So we were looking at a situation where if we wanted to acquire, let's say, a veteran defensive end, and where that market went, we would do so, but then it would be very difficult to do Tyreek. And how could we sign a veteran defensive end to a contract like that and not address Tyreek's situation, right? That would have been a problem, and it wouldn't have been something that we would have done given our relationship with Tyreek and all that he has done for the organization over the years. And on the flip side, when the market went to where it went, if we did that, in addition to carrying an Orlando Brown tag, in addition to the contracts that we have, then there'd be no way to address the defense and to do anything on the defensive side. So it was either an all or nothing scenario that we just took a step back, and this is you know, the great thing about how we operate here. We certainly go through all the scenarios, and one of the scenarios was that if we couldn't get something done, you know, this possibility. And so it made sense that if you really wanted to add some weapons and to invest in multiple players and multiple positions, that this may be the best scenario for us. Because, as I mentioned, if you do Tyreek, it's going to be hard to sign some of these veteran defensive linemen. And it also puts you in a bind in years to come. And if you do the defensive linemen, I mean, you'd probably have to tell Tyreek, you know, we couldn't do anything this year. So, again, we would have never gone that direction. So after taking a step back, and talking things through with Andy and with Clark, it just made sense for us to entertain this trade. And when we realized that we can get multiple picks, a 1, 2, 4, 4, and a 6, that this would be a way to hit draft and receiver, throw a ton of resources on the defensive side of the football, and then also infuse money back into the cap, both in the short and long term, so that next year we can be a player in free agency. And so this route that we decided to take, it really opened up what we think are many avenues to improve the roster over the next few years.
Fascinating. I mean, that's exactly what generally managing is. That's a general manager right there. And I appreciate your walking us through all of that. So which contract wrecked the buffet table more than it was it the Adams one? Was that the one that basically took anything that was on the table and just flipped it over at that point?
I think, as you saw, Rich, you know, they all did, and you know, Christian Kirk came right out of the bat and opened it up, and then Davante Adams, and then it was just nonstop one after the other. So we kind of thought, well, if we do this here, we might be out of free agency the next 2 or 3 years. And look, this game is, I mean, gosh, it's so hard to be good year in and year out, and you just, more than anything, you have to have a roster that can handle the physicality of this game and, you know, the injuries. And, I mean, year in and year out, teams are just holding on to get to the bye week so they can take a breath. And it's hard. And so, like I said, when we thought about this opportunity long and hard and to infuse, you know, not just the picks but the cap space over the next few years, it made a lot of sense to us. And you know, and I think it worked out for both parties. I know that's kind of a cliche there, and it's like, sounds good, everybody says it, but I really do. I think that, you know, Miami has a chance to do some things with Tyreek, and, you know, listen, he lives there and his family's there, and it was important for him to be there, and he, you know, that was a place he wanted to be, so that's, you know, he deserved that, and he certainly has helped us reach heights that, you know, many thought were impossible over the years. So I think he was deserving of that contract, and I was happy for him. And then, like I said, I was just happy that we were able to get resources to help continue to build this thing for the next 5-10 years, and I think that we've taken the right step, and that won't be easy, and we're going to have a lot of young guys play football for us this fall. There's going to be a transition period, but I mean, after the draft ended and from the time they've been here through the rookie mini camps, I mean, we've been certainly impressed with them and their attitude, so we're excited about getting this thing rolling.
A few more minutes left with Brett Veach, the GM of the Kansas City Chiefs. I'll be honest with you, Brett, I'm sitting there with Daniel Jeremiah in the booth at the combine watching the wide receivers work out. I see Sky Moore, and I'm like, that's perfect. He's perfect for the Kansas City offense, but they have Tyreek Hill, so why are they going to go get him? I'm just wondering if you put a pin in Sky Moore seeing him or at the combine and whatever evaluation you had, and then when Tyreek was going in a direction where you thought, okay, we might have to move him, that you remove the pin on Sky Moore and you wound up drafting him. I wonder if that happened.
Yeah, well, but listen, there's certainly a few receivers that we liked, and I think the one benefit or advantage that we had going through this process, after we make the trade and we know that now we're going to enter the draft with 2-1s, 2-2s, 2-3s, and 2-4s, I mean, mm-hmm. we enter the draft looking at the board and knowing that there were really good numbers in regards to depth of the draft at both the receiver and the DM position. The corner position was a little bit different. I mean, there were good players and good prospects, and certainly there'll be some late round corners that develop. It happens every year, but just from the outlook of the draft and where the numbers stood out to us were at D end and at wideout. And so I think that kind of, looking back on the draft, it kind of shows why we did what we did early on when we moved up for the corner.
Yeah.
It's a little bit of a risk because you want to get everything, but sometimes if you make a move, then the wideout or the DN that you really wanted, they're not there. I think we rolled the dice a few times, and it turned out to come up the way we wanted to. But George Karlaftis was a guy that we easily, in fact, we talked about trading up for him as early as 2 weeks before the draft. But as we started to study the team needs more, and as we started to study the, you know, the depth of each position, it just looked like there were going to be some good DNs there at the end of one, but the corners may be gone. And I think you saw that with us moving up, and then right after we moved up, the Bills moved up to take a corner. And then lo and behold, George was still there at 30. And then I think similar situation played out with the wideouts. There was going to be a run of wideouts. It was just when it was going to start, and it started right around that period there. I think when we took Sky right before that, the Georgia kid went and the Cincinnati kid went. So it's just kind of handicapping those pockets and when they're going to go. And I think our staff did a great job and our coaches did a great job of helping us work through the process. But Sky Moore was the guy that we thought, even if we had Tyreek, he'd be a guy that can come in and do different things. So he's a smaller guy, as you know, Rich, but he plays big. He has longer arms. He catches everything. He's a great route runner. He's great after the catch. You can move him around and play him in different positions. And I've always, you know, people have asked about, you know, a specific type of receiver. And I think we operate in a more general sense of we're going to find good players, and we have an outstanding coaching staff, and they're going to highlight what they can do, and they're going to put them in positions to make plays for us. So whether that's a 6'1 guy, a 5'11 guy, I mean, we're just going to find good football players that we like and leave it up to the coaches to put them in positions to push the ball down the field and score points.
Yeah, man, Karlaftis wore so many people out. He was unblockable in some games I was watching with Purdue, and obviously you if you're going to go shopping for cornerbacks, Washington is a pretty damn good spot the last few years in the draft. And so just, you know, to wrap up our conversation, Brett Veach, you know, you've referred to your division a couple times here. We all know it's now the deepest end of the pool in the NFL with the players that have come in from other spots now, Russell Wilson obviously being the most famous one, and Davante Adams being 1A on that front. So the conversation, many people are like, just when this happens, the Chiefs wind up, and as you pointed out, it kind of, your hand was forced in a way based on cap and everything else, giving up the one of the most incredible advantages, Mahomes to Tyreek Hill. How will this offense look? Is it any different, do you think, or it'll just be similar with different names in it, Brett Veach?
I think it'll be different. I think it'd be a little crazy to think that, as you mentioned, Rich, when you take away one of the most dynamic players over the last decade, when you remove him from the offense, you know, some of the, you know, our play style will certainly look a little different. However, I'm not so sure that's a bad thing. I think that we've certainly, when Pat came on the scene as a first-year starter in the RPO and the vertical game, I think that teams were, you know, slow to catch up to that, and we were able to just kind of rip up and down the field and score a lot of points. And there's been a lot of adjustments and you know, coverage looks. And now some of them we've seen over and over. But I think what the cool thing about this is you know, when you have someone like Pat Mahomes and you have the creativity of an Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy, I think it's exciting. New challenges are always exciting. So will we look exactly the same? No. But, you know, we've said this many times, there are multiple ways to score points and move the ball down the field. So I think the approach this offseason is, you know, we're going to have some core fundamental principles that we always have, and we'll look to execute them. But I think it's an exciting new challenge to you know, get this new core of receivers, Juju Smith and MVS and McColl, who is coming off a good year, and then throw in Sky Moore, add another lineman, add a couple running backs, and you know, you may see a little bit more running, but you may see a little bit more short game stuff. But I think it's exciting. I think the chess game is always exciting. But I think we have really good chess players in Andy and Pat, and I think it's going to be something that they're going to embrace. And yeah, will it look the same? No. But I think it can be very close to as successful.
And, oh, by the way, a guy on a future Hall of Fame trajectory in Travis Kelce, so who's one of my favorites. Hey, Brett, man, thanks for the time. This was fascinating. Great, a great chat. I truly appreciate it.
Always, Rich. Always love hopping on
thanks,
the
man.
Phone with you, and look forward to catching up soon.
I do, too. Thank you. That's Brett Veach, general manager of the Kansas City Chiefs, giving you a fascinating glimpse into what goes into the mind of a talent evaluator and a roster builder at this point in time. When there's booming markets at wide receiver and a draft coming up and a combine that just happened, and you need these pieces, you need that pieces, and you got a contract at a quarterback that at the time sounded insane. How are they ever going to build a roster? And then as the years go by, it's like, oh, that's not a bad one.
It's a deal.
It's a deal. It's a deal.
Yeah, it's a deal.
All right, we'll take a break. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Patrick Queen of the Baltimore Ravens will be joining us at the top of the next hour. We've also got our Friday fun. What's more likely? TJ's big-ass grab bag, and you're at 844-204-RICH.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss, 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Back here on our terrestrial radio outfit, one big happy family. I just love that chat with Brett Veach right there, because it gives you you're like, why the hell would they give up Tyreek Hill? And he's like, well, we went into the offseason wanting to keep him. And, you know, that's the same thing I think that Steve Keim might be dealing right now with kind of Murray. Whatever conversation Kyler Murray and the Cardinals may have been having at all. How do you think whatever they were hammering out, whatever parameters were being hammered out, if there were any parameters being hammered? By the way, is that a great fantasy team name or a horse name, Hammering Parameters?
That's a good horse name.
That's a good horse name. Yeah. Down the stretch they come. Rich Strike, Hammering Parameters.
Rich not Strike, easy. Not in the Preakness.
Oh, my God.
That's because he wilded it out after the last race. They can't afford to put him back. He's out there biting.
Rich Strike's owner's not going to run him in 2 weeks.
We digress.
He'll know how to act.
So how do you think whatever parameters were being hammered by Steve Keim and Kyler Murray's rep, if they existed, how do you think they went after the Deshaun Watson contract? It's just like... let's start again.
I need to see a two.
We need to see a clean slate.
A two in front of that guaranteed money.
Did you guys see Hollywood and Kyler at the Mavs game together?
There's something that rhymes with Schmescro that needs to be looked into.
Ew.
Okay, so the same way, whatever they're talking about with Drew Rosenhaus, Tyreek Hill, and then Christian Kirk signs for all that bag. And then Davante Adams signs for that bag. And then Stephon Diggs gets his bag. Mm-hmm. And all of that, Brett Veach calls up Drew Rosenhaus and says, we're still good. And you know what Rosenhaus says? The old next question. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Next question.
New line, who this?
Next question.
Next.
And I just love, Brett Veach saying, we have to now sit down and say, we've got all of these needs. And maybe he's not getting into whatever else might be going on behind the scenes with Tyreek and the team, or if there is anything else, but he's just talking about dollars, cents. What do you pay this guy? What will that afford? What will that prevent us from doing on other parts of the team? And honestly, if I'm sitting there and I don't grind tape, if I'm sitting there, I'm not all 22. I just do two. I do ball carrier and the guy who tackles the guy. That's the way I look at a game, right? Who's got the ball and who tackles the guy at the ball? I'm not an all 22. I'm just a two guy. But if I'm sitting there watching these receivers work out and I'm like, that kid Sky Moore looks like he is ready made for Andy Reid's offense and Eric Bieniemy's offense. If I'm thinking that, they're thinking that. Mm-hmm. And they might be like, we're going to go get, and guess who they got in the draft? Sky Moore. And Sky Moore is the height-weight comparison almost to the pound for Tyreek Hill. They're both 5'10", Hill's 185, and Sky Moore is 195. Okay? And it's amazing how people will work it. The Tennessee Titans, A.J. Brown, wants this amount of money. They're not paying it in the draft. Send it to a guy who is paying it. And let's draft his height, weight comp. Boom, Treylon Burks. Come on in with the pick we get for sending away A.J. Brown. And the guy who acquires A.J. Brown is saying, guess what? Guess what I got? I got myself a receiver. And I called, we had Howie Roseman on the show, general manager, talking about, well, how do you value the wide receiver position? Maybe you're different than the way that the Titans value the wide receiver position. And his answer is like, well, guess what? I've got a quarterback on his rookie contract. Right. I can value the receiver in a way that John Robinson of the Titans with Ryan Tannehill cannot. Guess what Brett Veach has? A quarterback not on his rookie deal. But on a deal that, as we pointed out earlier, at the time was just like, how much? And now it's like, how little is that compared to the how much for other teams? I love this sort of stuff. It's roster building 101, and I love being able to give it to you here on this show best I can.
Yeah, it's cool because not every team is in the same situation. So how they're kind of maneuvering and building and formulating the roster and matching up guys in different contracts, it's really fun and exciting.
And maybe that's how John Robinson's like. I'd love to get John Robinson on the phone. We'll do that best we can. Because is he, when you're saying, okay, we're not going to pay A.J. Brown, did he get a call from, I forget if Howie said he called him or what, or just John Robinson, like, I got to look for somebody who can afford him and who needs a wide receiver. I mean, the Eagles are a perfect team.
Yeah, there's only
another
a handful of teams.
Right. It's like perfect, sold. We don't want to trade him, but.
Yeah, there's only a handful of perfect partners in that situation.
Got to find the right one. Just takes one, obviously. But I just love that sort of stuff. Hey, we see all this, and it blew up. We were ready to do it at this number. Now it's at that number. And once it's at that number, look at the numbers of draft choices we can get. Look what we can do. But that's why I brought up to him. That's why my last question to him was, just at the point where that division becomes insanely deep. Because for the last few years, it was just like, all right, Who's it's a battle for second place in that division.
Yeah, it was
in
it
was like the old AFC East with Brady there. Yeah. Like, who's really going to, or who's coming at the king? Really?
Yeah.
Or like the NFC East every year.
Right.
Wow.
Who's coming at the king? Now it's Game of Thrones. There's, you know, there's four kingdoms here. And so just at that point, the most dynamic, arguably, and the biggest difference maker in the NFL at that connection of wide receiver, quarterback to wide receiver, Mahomes to Tyreek Hill, they don't have it anymore. So how's that going to look? Well, Juju Smith-Schuster, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, that was the MVS, and Mecole Hard, you know, Mecole and Mecole. Let's go. Let's see what they can do. And then you add Sky Moore to the mix. And Ronald Jones, by the way.
Yeah.
He's running the ball there with, you know, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And we'll see. They got to start three of the first four on the road. Patrick Queen and some interesting scheduling quirks that we noticed in the schedule coming up.